Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to another episode of EC Convos. This is the place to have cool conversations with cool people. I am Eric, of course, and I truly appreciate you listening and always checking us out. Now, you can help us grow EC Convos by commenting, liking, and subscribing, whether it's on YouTube, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple, it doesn't matter. Every little bit counts, y'all. And if you're feeling really generous, don't forget to leave a tip by clicking the link below in the show notes. Every small donation helps, y'all. It keeps the podcast lights on. Now, let me say this. Some people who may know me personally know that I am a quote magnet. It's just something about being able to rely on the words of great people who's had great moments and great thoughts and stuff. My absolute favorite quote has been my favorite and my mantra for 13 years straight. And it's keep going. But I have hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of quotes that I use consistently. One I just heard last year was, when you're born, you look like your parents, but when you die, you look like your decisions. Crazy, right? Ooh. Another one that I use now is, listen with the intent to understand, not with the intent to reply. Because look, we all fall short of that, right? I fall short of that sometimes. I'm working on it. I really am, y'all. I truly am. But one of my favorite quotes that I use often, more than any of them, besides keep going, is anger corrupts the container it's carried in. Now, what does that mean, you ask? Well, it's simple. If you keep things bottled in, it begins to manifest into something toxic, like stress taking a toll on your body, or sadness that turns into depression. It basically corrupts your entire body, eventually becoming what you keep inside. Powerful, right? So what happens when you change that anger into kindness? Well, in my opinion, the opposite happens. If you pour your kindness into that container, it eventually overflows and begins to touch things that are closest to you. And it's a beautiful thing, y'all. And that is the reason why my next conversation with Teresa Ramirez is so important. She is the author of Raising Kind Children, How to Become CEO of Your Family to Create Lasting Impact and Change. We talk about several things, like, for instance, her book. We also talk about how she became a kindness coach. And we also talk about road rage, too. But most importantly, we talk about how being kind to people can be contagious once you commit to it. Great talks, people. Great talks. Now, I do want to give a little disclaimer. There are some parts of the conversation that sounds a little choppy, and then there's another part where the audio completely switches. But that's because we got cut off and we had to restart it. Technology, you know, it can be a burden sometimes, but sometimes it can also be a benefit, because without it, I would not have had the chance to discuss this great conversation with Teresa and this very important and very amazing topic. So, as I always say, don't take my word for it. Sit back, listen, and enjoy this conversation that I have with Teresa Ramirez. Again, I thank you so much, because I do. This is an important conversation. And
yes,
and
it is.
I say that all the time. I've said that a couple of times to, you know, several different episodes that I've had, because all of the other episodes that I've had have been pretty important. This is very important as well, because, well, first of all, I'm sorry. Thank you for joining EC Convos. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot to do this, because the last time I completely forgot to press the record button. And yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much for joining EC Convos, Ms. Teresa. I really appreciate it. Everything is amazing. I'm glad to have you on simply because of everything that you stand for, right? I've read your book. I loved your book.
Thank you.
You know what? I am super excited, because I read the book. I read it a couple of days ago. And so I've been writing some notes here and there. So if you see me looking at some notes or whatever, it's because there are a couple of things that I wanted to kind of ask you. But overall, it's just your overall aura, I think. And I don't even know you. This is my first time ever actually having a conversation with you. And but I just feel like what you're talking about and what you stand for right now is important simply because there isn't kindness out there in the world now. You know what I mean? And you said something in early in the book when you said, you know, at first your focus was on kids, right? On trying to make sure mm-hmm. the kids are kinder. But then you realized in order to do that, you got to make sure the parents are kind, right? So because everything is a trickle down effect, right? So I'm glad to have you on here, and I do want you to talk a little bit more about, you know, your book, your journal also, and just overall what you do. So the floor is yours. So can tell the world who you are.
Oh, here I am. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I love doing this, and I love these conversations so much better than the hardcore interviews. But yeah, and thank you for reading the book. It is designed to be simple and easy and a quick read for busy parents. It was designed that way, short and sweet, and using day-to-day things. So this, as it says in the book, it started with a school shooting. And I, you know, God gave me that tap on the shoulder and said, I want you to do. And I said, okay. So I grieved with those students and, you know, sympathized with them and then said, you know what? You're all sitting here. We need to change laws. We need to change school policy. But you know what? That takes time. But you can do something right now.
Yep.
And that is go sit with that kid that's sitting alone at lunch. Someone's just dumped pencils and books all over the hallway. Help them pick them up. You know, reach out to the new kid. Show them around. Show them the good things about your school.
Right.
Reach out to that shy kid. Those little things doesn't cost anything, just a little bit of your time. And that's how this all started. And like you read, when COVID hit, we all landed in front of the computers. And I started really reading what adults were writing. And I was horrified, actually totally horrified. So I went to my little core family, my niece and her husband, their four kids. So I asked their kids, do you read when your parents let you on social media? They're very strict. And they said, yeah, we read what they write. And we read it because we don't want them writing about us.
Right.
Typical kid.
Exactly.
Typical kid.
Exactly.
And I laughed, but they read it. So they know, in their example, it's positive, it's uplifting, it's kind. But what I was reading was not positive, uplift. It was negative. It was out and out nasty. And I thought, their kids are reading that. And what they're thinking is, well, Mom and Dad can write that, I can too. Mm. And then you get into the cyberbullying thing. And I'm thinking, no. That's not okay.
Right.
And adults have to realize, I think in the book, I say, be the CEO. You are your children's number one role model. And parents are like, no, they go with peer pressure. And I said, it starts at home.
It does. I agree with that 100%. It does. And the beautiful thing about it is when it comes to recognizing that, like once the parents recognize that, then they can start making the changes that they need to make in order to be able to say or in order to make sure that their kids see everything. Because you mentioned that in the book as well, is that your kids are looking, they see you. They see what you're doing, even if you're thinking that, oh, no, they're on their books. Oh, they're on the Internet. They're doing whatever. No, they're actually monitoring what you do at a consistent basis. And what you do and how you act or whatever will become their reality. And then it will become their expectation. Like they'll begin to think that, OK, if my mom is acting this way, then I guess it's acceptable. Or if my dad is acting this way, I guess it's acceptable. And they'll begin to kind of like center their world around that. And it's funny because you'll see so many people have issues like with when it comes to therapy. I'm a big proponent of therapy, right? And so you'll see you'll see so many people with issues and a lot of times they will talk, like I'll have conversations with them and everything, and they'll say, well, I unpacked a lot of things or whatever, and I realized that a lot of it stems from what happened when I was younger, you know, with my parents and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the way that they molded me, it didn't really mesh well with the way that I am supposed to see view life or whatever. And it's crazy how that's the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is. It's insane. And I think some people don't like it when I put some empathy for the bully, mm-hmm. because you don't know what's happening behind the scenes at their home.
Right.
And there's a reason they're acting that way. And I know here in Cincinnati, there was a school, and this is where communication with your kids is so important, and being open about kindness. And this school is all about kindness, and they got the parents on board. They're doing all the right things. And there was a child who was friends with a child that was shy, didn't have a lot of friends, but he was his friend. Mm-hmm. And his one day came and said, starts talking about wanting to blow up the school.
Oh, wow.
And wow. Shoot this person and that person and go on. Well, his friend goes home and says, Dad, I got to talk to you. This is what this kid told me. Dad's on the phone to the principal immediately. But this is where kindness comes in. And it's, first of all, communication. So that kid felt, wasn't afraid to go home and tell his dad what he heard. And that's so important. And Dad called the principal, and the principal got the other kid's parents in. The kid had a lot of issues, and no one was addressing them. Mm. And he was slipping through the cracks. But because this environment was created, they got that kid help, and things are going much, much better for him. But it's those kind of things. Don't condemn somebody. They need help. I always say personal pain is as unique as a fingerprint. You never know what someone's going through.
Right.
And, right. You know, that open communication, the school being open, they're teaching the kindness. It all rippled around, and we ended up helping a child instead of having another incident.
Right, right. So were you involved in that situation, or did they bring you
in?
No,
I was not involved in that situation. I happened to know the principal.
Okay, okay.
Was an old neighbor, so that's how I found out about it.
Well, and you're right, because once you look, at the end of the day, it's all about each one teach one, right? And so if you can, mm-hmm. if you can show with kindness that you are able to be a better, if you are able to be a better person by showing levels of kindness, then somebody will pick that up and they will begin to do the same thing. It's kind of like when you think about it, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but every once in a while, I like to do like a random act of kindness, which is I'll be in the mm-hmm. drive-through line and I like to pay for the person behind me. Right. And
yeah.
So. Yeah. It'll go, you know, and it'll cycle on or whatever. So what happened was one day I was in Chick-fil-A. I was in Chick-fil-A's drive thru and I ordered my food or whatever, got to pay for it or whatever, and they said, "Oh, the person already paid for it in front of you." And I said, "Oh, okay, cool." And they said, "Yeah, this has actually been happening for the last 7 cars." And so it's been going on it was going on consistently. So again, if you That small level of kindness or whatever can continue to trickle on down. And you never know if somebody was having an absolutely crappy day and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. this happens. And then they say, you know what? It's not bad at all. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, it is exactly like that. And it did happen to me because I always go to a local coffee shop here and grab something and pay mm-hmm. for the person behind me. And, lo and behold, someone had done it for me. But that's the ripple effect. And right. Yes, it's a real thing. And there are studies that show that, like, if we do that, we have an act of kindness, we have shared it, but then anyone else around us who sees that, they also experience the same ripple effect.
Right.
And it goes to our happy hormone, our happy hormones, our serotonin, our oxytocin. Those all rise.
Right.
And that all becomes that ripple effect. And I have an example where I was at a restaurant with a friend. We're going to have lunch. And the server comes up and she says, "What do you want?" And we're like, "Well, we had a couple questions about the menu." And she said, "I don't know. I was told to come over and take your order. What do you want?" And my friend and I looked at each other and said, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And we ordered, our food came, it was fine, but she never came over and refilled the coffee. She never refilled the water. And at the end of the meal, she comes by and slams the bill on the table.
Wow. Wow.
And I will be honest, this was early on in my journey in kindness. I will just say that. So I had no idea what to expect. So my friend and I actually sat back and we talked about it because we had every right to call that manager. There was no question about it. But then we got to thinking, we kind of said, let's try an experiment. We had no idea. So we went ahead and gave her a normal tip. And on her receipt, I put a smiley face and wrote, "You are designed to shine." Gathered up our stuff, start heading for the door. She chases us down. Tears. Mm. Thank you. I needed to hear that today. Mm. And we get in the car and we're like, never saw that happen. Never saw that coming. And we just said, okay, that taught us. That taught one of my early on kindness lessons. And be kind to your servers. Right. I always tip them well and I treat them with respect. And because you don't know, I had no idea. We had no idea what had happened before she walked into that restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it could have been this morning, last week, 6 months ago. It doesn't matter. We don't know what people are going through. And we did laugh because the ripple effect is anyone that came after us to be served, any customer, they're going to get a much better experience than we did.
Right. And I love how you were able to tell that story. And as you said earlier, you never really know what people have going on. And you mentioned one time in your book of a time when I think you were walking your dog. And either walking your dog, and someone stopped to pet the dog, or they asked, "Hey, can I pet the dog?"
Yes, they asked. Yeah,
yeah. Do you remember that story? Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
Yes, I remember that story well. My dog is 10 pounds, cuter than Christmas, and everybody wants a petter. So when this woman came up to me and asked to pet her, I thought, okay, this is going to be another quick pet. Hey, have a great day. Keep going. We were by some steps in the park. She sits down on the steps. Of course, my dog jumps in her lap. Yeah, pet me. I'm just the greatest thing ever. And then the woman is petting her and she starts talking. I lost my husband 6 months ago. Mm. I lost my pet a few weeks ago. And she's crying. And now I'm sitting here like ready to bawl. And she's just petting the dog and she's just talking and talking. And going on and just, it's like she's pouring her soul out. And I'm like, so I just sat there and listened. I just listened and let her pet my dog. And when she got done, she brushes off her lap, wipes away her tears. And she looked at me and she said, "Thank you. I haven't felt this good in months.
Wow.
And she went on her way. I went on my way. And all I did was let her pet my dog.
Right.
And who loves that and listen. Now I have no idea what went on. She just said she just hasn't felt that good in months. And I just can only imagine all the grief that must have been bottled up inside of her.
Right.
But it didn't cost me anything to let her pet my dog and for me to listen. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to learn. We need to put our phones down and listen to each other. That's a real big lesson.
I agree with that. I think when it's all said and done, because we are so focused on ourselves and trying to make sure we are, you know, making it, like we're surviving, right? And all it takes is just a few seconds to be kind to someone else. That is a perfect example of how you'll never know when someone has something much more significant than you or something much more devastating than you going on. And that one simple thing can change everything, right? Who knows what her day continued to be. But all we know is at that very moment, she had that one moment
that
of
time.
Peace, that time, right? She had that time and she had that moment of happiness. And as again, there's so many examples in your book, you know. There was another example of when, well, it wasn't really an example. It was an idea of, you know, with road rage, because right now road rage is major. I live in Texas, and the people in Texas do not know how to drive whatsoever. And so, road rage is probably one of the single most crazy things that you can deal with here in Texas, especially trying to be kind to people. You know, people cut you off, people don't know how to drive, stuff like that. And so, you know, there are a couple of examples when you, or a couple of things that you say that you can do to try to keep yourself together, right? Yeah. One of the ones that I like is the, which I'm not going to tell all of them, but one of the ones I like is the clown nose, right? Having a clown nose with you at all times. And so, yeah, right, there you go. You know, and that
there
just,
it is. I know this is audio, but there it is.
And it just makes it simple. It makes it, it just makes things a lot easier. For y'all listening, for those who don't know, Teresa just put on a clown nose, and it just makes you smile. You know what I mean? Because it's first of all, it's completely out of left field, number one. And number two, you know, a lot of people associate clowns with happiness, you know, and just, you know, fun, mm-hmm. and being giddy and whatnot. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you know, you have to be able to figure out how to navigate around things like that and keep your kindness, you know, at a maximum, you know, because that is what shines in the world much more brightly than anger, frustration, resentment, things like that. You know, happiness, you know, happiness.
Yeah, no, in road rage, I want to, I did recently found this study on road rage that 47% of our accidents are caused by road rage.
Oh, wow.
Think about that.
I didn't know that.
Think about that. That's from Consumer Affairs. I didn't make that up. So I thought, think of how many accidents we could avoid, and traffic jams, et cetera, that right. we could avoid if we don't fall into that road rage trap. And for parents, you got the 15-year-old sitting next to you in the car watching everything you do. And that's why I said put the sticky notes on the horn, because I love my horn. I'm going to be totally honest. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. So right, for me, I put that stop right on my horn so I would not use it constantly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put reminders on your phone, put things anywhere on the dashboard to just remind you, bring you back in that, okay, did he really cut me off? And the other thing I have learned with road rage is 9 times out of 10, my example was in the book, I stopped at a, going up a exit ramp, and I had stopped, and the guy in front of me came out and he was yelling and screaming at me. I mean, he was coming for me, and thank God I had the clown nose in the car to stop that. But I have no idea what I did. And 9 times out of 10, you don't know. The other person has no idea what they did to create the road rage situation.
Right.
So
right.
keep that in mind, because I'm sitting there staring at the guy going, what the heck did I do? I didn't know. So yeah, that's just take that time, put the sticky notes, put the reminders on your phone, whatever you need to do, to eliminate road rage, because it does. It creates accident. You're teaching your kids bad habits. Mm-hmm. Again, parents, be aware.
Right. So for those who, okay, there will be some people who gravitate towards this conversation that you and I are having, right? Mm-hmm. Because they say, you know what? I really do need to make some changes in my life because I do want to do it for my kids. However, there are some people who will also say, well, that doesn't work for me. I've tried it. I've tried being kind to people. They always mess over me, you know, things like that. So what are some of the steps you think for someone who has that mindset, right, where they just have it stuck in their mind that no matter how kind I am to somebody, there's always going to be somebody who tries to get over on me or try to mess me over or whatever. What do you recommend to them as a starting point to try and shift their mindset from that negativity to that more positive happiness mindset?
Yeah, I would like to say I am a firm believer that we create our own environments. And so you decide which environment do you want? Do you want the hostile, cruel, nasty environment or the kind, compassionate environment?
Right.
And it starts with you. And like I gave you, there are studies that show that when we're exchanging acts of kindness, serotonin levels go up, our happy hormones go up. And we just have to, each one of us, keep creating that environment in our own corner. You don't even have to look beyond, just your own corner of the world. And it is going to spread. It is, that ripple effect is real. Right. And it does work. I know I have a lot of parents who said, well, I'm nice all the time. And then I say, are you? What'd you do when you got in the car? And then they look at me, because when I did the 21 day kindness challenge, the number one, I said, no road rage. That I'm not a challenge. One day, no road rage. And people blew up because they have a real, there's a real issue with road rage. That's why I bring it up so often. So it's just those kind of things. You have to decide what you want to create.
Right, right. And it can be a challenge to some people who have been, right. It can be a challenge to people who have had to deal with this for many, many years, right? People who have their parents, where their parents may have grown, or like, you know, or their parents may have desensitized them to a level of happiness because their parents have always been negative. So them trying to figure out how to be able to rise above what happened with their parents and with their grandparents or any other family members, right? Because
it
can become a very challenging thing. And I can understand why some people will say at the end of the day, you know what, it's just not for me. I'm just going to live my life the way that I see fit. But you're right, but it all starts with you, though. If you need to make that change, you have to.
It all starts with you. Yeah. And it's so simple. And it starts, I always say, start with a smile and hello.
Yeah.
And one of the examples I have is a man who was a parking garage attendant, and he went on vacation. And when he came back, all his customers are yelling at him, where have you been? I had the worst week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, of my life because you weren't here. And he's like, what are you all talking about? And he said, your smile and your good morning set my day off on a good note. And I always had a great day when I park here and talk to you. And he's looking, he goes, you're all crazy. But he called, so he got in touch with me and he said, you kindness lady. And I laughed. He said, you always told me how impactful a smile and a hello were. And he said, I didn't understand just how much of an impact that was until my customers told me.
Right.
And, and it was so simple.
Right.
Very easy.
And it can be simple. It's just a quick, as you said earlier, a quick smile can change everyone's trajectory, or it can change everyone's mind.
Yes.
You can be having a completely crappy day. They may have gotten your coffee order wrong. You know, you may have gotten mud on your shoes or whatever. But if somebody smiles and says, you know what? I love that outfit you have on. Something as simple as that can change somebody's mind. Right. And so.
Yeah. Words are so important in how we use them, and giving compliments to people. And I'm like, thanks. Wow. I didn't see that coming. You know, just those little, yeah, I love that outfit. Love those shoes. If it's kids, you know, your book report was awesome. You played a great game Friday night. Those kind of things.
Right.
They go a long way.
They do. They do. I do want to switch gears a little bit, because one of the things that you also talk about on here is how to be able, I think it's like three tools that you need in order for you to be able to, like if somebody has an argument or something like that, or one of the things you talk about is how to be able to stop an argument. So instead of immediately going back and forth, you pause for a second. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about that, because I know that also plays a big role in kindness as well.
It does, because you know, you're making kindness as natural as breathing, you're building your foundation, but then you're going to be faced with those awkward, sticky situations. So I said, practice your pause. So however I can give you suggestions of taking the deep breath and letting it out, taking that step backwards, however it works for you. And then, because then you're going to give you, it gives you that, just those few seconds to think instead of react.
Right.
And that's how we respond to situations makes a huge difference in how things go. And you can practice with your kids. I strongly recommend blowing bubbles because it's fun. Everybody loves it. And get with your kids, practice with your kids. Your kids are going to have a good time with it and they're going to remember it because it was fun.
Right.
But that taking that that pause will help you respond kindly in those awkward, sticky situations.
You're right. You're right about that. And I'll be honest with you, that is probably one of the most challenging things for me is learning how to pause for a second, you know, because I've been conditioned, I guess you can say, to immediately react. And when, especially when there's an argument and stuff, my wife and I, we don't, I always like to say that my wife and I, we very rarely argue, right? But whenever we do argue, we may argue maybe once or twice a year. That's how much, you know, but whenever we do argue, it's, you know, it's like back and forth, you know, we're tearing the walls down type stuff. And so one of the things that I wanted to change, and it also applies to my job as well, because, you know, I deal with customers on a daily basis. And so sometimes, you know, these customers may not get what they want, or they may want to argue a debate, a certain point about their products and whatever. And so instead of me immediately clapping back like I normally do, I am learning how to just, as you said, take a pause and just step back for a second and try to understand where they're coming from. And that has been a challenge for me. That's been one of the things that I've been working on for 2026. So
You're not alone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that's why what I'm doing, I think, is so important.
Right. So, and you're right about that. It's very important, right? Because we need to be able to have those, still be able to have hard conversations if we need to have them, but not have them in an argumentative manner, you know, have them where we can, agree to disagree. That was one of the things you said in the book also, you know, so when you realize that it's not going anywhere, you just say, you know what? I see where you're coming from. I'll take that into consideration. Or you know what, let's just agree to disagree. And then you can just immediately kind of squash the escalation. You know what I mean? I do have one
question. You can even do it, you can even use those, you know, if you're in a conference room, especially in business, you're in a conference room and things are getting really heated. I think we need a bio break.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just stops it. And then, and everybody does, they've taken a deep breath. They got a new cup of coffee, whatever, and come back in and you start the conversation over on a different level.
Right. There was one thing I do want to ask you about in your book. It was a conversation you had with your friend. I think it was called the something shootout. What was it? I have it right here. It was the Crosstown
Shootout. Oh, the Crosstown Shootout. Yeah. And the Crosstown Shootout.
Yeah. You mentioned that it had gotten to a point where, you know, like started putting your fingers in people's face and stuff like that. And so how did you resolve that? Because you never talked about how it was resolved.
Okay. Yeah. That was a tough one. That was if it continued, we would not be speaking today.
Oh.
And then it would have been bad because there were friends with us. It would have affected other friendships.
Right.
So what I had done was I literally sat back in my chair, physically did that. And then decided, and then took a deep breath. And within seconds, and this is further along in my journey, so I had a little more practice, decided to let it go. And thank God for another friend who jumped in and changed the subject.
right.
We are, so be aware when you're in group settings, you can change the subject and help the situation as well. But I just chose to sit back and not do anything. If I could have walked away, I would have. But in the situation, we couldn't have done that gracefully anyway. But now we're still friends. We are still friends. What we decided, we won't talk about that anymore.
Right.
What used to be just this fun rivalry thing, which with most people it is, it's just a, you know, talking smack and all that fun stuff. And we will not be discussing it anymore. We know that's a subject that's off limits for us. And we're still friends. And we still go out and do different things together mm-hmm. that are fun for us, but we leave that subject at home.
Right. Have you seen a change in your friendship because of it? Or was it something where you said, you know what, it's gone. It's done. We let it go completely.
I think it's a subtle change, but we're still friends and we still can support each other in other ways. And that's what we had to both get to. And it took just a little bit of time because of the way we did not, I stopped it and the friends helped change the subject. We came by, it was just a few days later, said we just won't talk about that anymore.
Okay. That's good. Because you don't want to mess up a friendship over something even though some people do take it a lot more. Yeah, something as trivial as that. You know what I mean? Especially if you've had a long-term mm-hmm. friendship and whatnot. So I get that.
But today, in today's environment here in the United States, you can be friends with people and have different politics. I think that's one of the things I learned from that experience is you don't have to agree on everything. And if it's going to constantly, I've had people, I think back to my parents' days, mm-hmm. where they could have conversations, disagree with each other about whatever, and still continue their friendship on with no break.
Right.
Today, I just don't think that's possible. I don't know what happened, but today, it's friendships are ended.
If you have subjects that you know when you're out with your friends, you love these people, you want to continue that friendship, and there's subjects like politics that you are just going to be confrontational and get nasty about, leave that subject at home.
Right.
There's no, you know, why ruin a 20-year friendship over one subject you can't talk about?
I agree. I agree with that. And it happens often, more often than not. You know what I mean?
It does.
Especially on mm-hmm. the media where, you know, people will forego, you know, decades-long friendships because of somebody's political views or somebody's religious views. And so that's why they always say politics and religion have no place in anywhere, you know. Now, I do want to get to one last part of the conversation. And this is, I like to call the juicy part, where we ask you, what grinds your gears right now?
What grinds my gears right now? You know, it's always just how to spread. For me, it's always spreading more kindness, responding kindly to those really nasty, awkward situations and getting out to help other people figure that out to make the world a better place. I know that's cliche, but you know, we can change the world. I know we can. There are studies to back it up. We can make a difference. We can change things. One act of kindness at a time, one little ripple of kindness at a time. And all we have to do is focus on our own neighborhood first.
Right, right. And it all starts with us, right? As you said before, everything starts with you. You get to a comfortable place, and by default, and everything else around you will begin to take shape because you will begin to act more kind. You'll begin to, you know, say more kind things. You'll begin to do more kind things. And then people will begin to gravitate towards that, and they'll begin to see that. I do.
Yes. And
yeah.
I just think about my own transformation and how things now, where I didn't see kindness before, I see it everywhere.
Right. Right.
And that will happen.
It will. In due time. Everything always happens like you wanted to in due time. So one last question for you mm-hmm. before we go. What do you recommend? If there's anything that you can recommend to the audience, whether it be a book, a movie, a TV show, a song, whatever, what do you recommend that they check out and why?
You know, there is a book. Now, mind you, it is faith-based, but it's called The Bait of Satan, and it's how to go through conflict management with a biblical perspective and how God wants us to respond to those difficult, sticky situations. So, yeah, I'm actually using that as research for my next book, which is going to dive deeper into acting kindly, responding kindly in those situations.
Nice. And definitely, y'all, check out the book. Check out her book. And also check out the book that she's recommending right now. Because you're right, we need more kindness in the world. So, Miss Teresa, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate this conversation. My hope is all it takes is one person to listen to this and to be able to change their entire mindset and to start acting more kind to people and to themselves too. Give yourself grace. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So,
where can everyone find you?
You can find me at journeyinkindness.com and hit the contact button, and I will respond to every inquiry I receive.
Nice. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of EC Convos, where, again, we like to have cool conversations with cool people. My name is Eric, and I will see you next time.